The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in his speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you're not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. If I asked you as I hold up this coin, who does this belong to? Whose coin is this? Well, some of you might say yours. Others might say it belongs to the United States of America. But I bet none of you would say it belongs to God. But that is what Jesus was really saying in today's gospel, if you listen closely enough. And his answer has implications for you and me in our country and in our world, in the climate we live in today. To appreciate that, we need to understand how clever a trap the Pharisees set for Jesus. When they asked him whether it was lawful, that is according to Jewish law, to pay taxes to Caesar, it was a no-win situation for Jesus. If he said, "No, it's not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar," he could be accused of treason and arrested. If he had said, "Yes, it is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar," he would have been in opposition to the law-making Pharisees and most of the people who resisted this tax, and he would have lost all his credibility. In fact, this particular tax was a hot issue at the time of Jesus, like taxes are for us today. When Judea had become a Roman province about 6 years before Jesus' birth, this tax was levied on every Jewish person and triggered a resistance, maybe the first Tea Party, a resistance that became the Zealous Movement and eventually led to a revolution and the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70. So it seems that the Pharisees and the Herodians and their disciples had caught Jesus in the middle of a very hot dilemma. But here's where we get a glimpse of the genius of Jesus. The first thing he does is to ask for the special coin that was used to pay this tax. And you note that the Pharisees had it in their possession, but Jesus didn't. This coin had the image of Caesar on it, which really would have been idolatry for the Jews and blasphemous, because the inscription read, "Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustine." Also, according to the custom of the time, and that coin belonged to the Romans. So Jesus accepted this reality, but it also gave Jesus an out or an escape. He said those now famous words, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar." Notice how cleverly he didn't answer the question with a yes or a no. He'd have made a great politician. But then he went far beyond the question with the rest of his quote, "And give to God what belongs to God." He escaped the trap. But there may be a trap for you and me today in how do we interpret this saying of Jesus for our own time. Was Jesus indicating a principle of separation between church and state, a division between religion and politics, a separation from them? What was Jesus really saying that might guide us today as we face crucial problems in our own country and in our world? The answer may be rather surprising. Jesus was not favoring a separation of church and state or an effort to keep religion out of politics. In fact, just the opposite. When Jesus said, "Give to God what belongs to God," he was really saying that everything belongs to God. Caesar, state, nation, world, everything. For Jesus' idea of the kingdom was one in which there was no distinction between religion and politics, but where the values of the kingdom, the values of the gospel, would permeate everything. That was the rather surprising vision of that first reading from the prophet. While acknowledging in this reading that I am the Lord and there is no other, there is no God beside me, God calls Cyrus, the Persian leader who had allowed the Jews to come back from captivity to rebuild their temple and their nation. God calls Cyrus my son, doing God's will, as if Cyrus was completely under God's control. We don't think that way today. In the gospel, Jesus never had in mind the complex situation in our own country, where we have a separation of church and state, guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, in which no religion is to be favored over any other, and the freedom to worship according to one's conscience is sacred. So what seems like a simple answer, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God, is not as simple as it sounds in our complex world today. I think the worst thing we could do would be to ignore it or not bother about it and not get involved in the complicated issues that face our country today in a divided nation and in a divided Congress. For that would not be giving to God what belongs to God. Issues like immigration, climate change, health care, affordable housing, taxes, all have a spiritual dimension to them. In a sense, we cannot separate religion and politics or church and state as if they existed in different worlds. We live in this world, and we are God's image. Being involved with our world is giving to God what belongs to God. Our coins, in fact, acknowledge this fact because on them are the words, "In God we trust." That's why Pope Francis one day in his daily homily said this: "Some say a good Catholic doesn't meddle in politics. That's not true. That is not a good path. A good Catholic meddles in politics, offering the best of himself or herself." I think this is another way of saying, give to God what belongs to God. So maybe today we could just, first of all, stand back and admire the genius of Jesus in amazement in answering this challenging questions which the Pharisees tried to trap him in. We could think of that the next time we look at a coin like this. And secondly, at this Eucharist, we might ask the same Jesus to give us the genius of the Holy Spirit to help each one of us form our consciences as wisely as we can about the issues that face our country today. Remember that it was on such religious values that our country was formed, quote, "under God, with liberty and justice for all." Please God, may we keep reaching and striving for those wonderful ideals of our United States of America. Amen.